So today is one of the most auspicious days, Govardhan Puja, and especially liked by the devotees. Does anyone know why devotees especially like Govardhan Puja?
There's no fasting.
Yes, there's no fasting, and there's no fisting either. Yes, there's no fasting.
Just feasting.
What's that?
Just feasting.
Yes. If you're younger, there's only feasting. So Govardhan has two meanings, the word Govardhan. Go means cow, and Vardhan, it means to give nourishment. So in that sense, Govardhan is a place where the cows get nourished. Govardhan gives the cows nice fresh grass. So today is also Gopuj. So if we had a cow, we could give it some grass also and come to the same status as Govardhan. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Govardhan, well, when he was in Jagannath Puri, he saw a Parvata, and he thought it was Govardhan, and he started to run to it. And he quoted the verse that Giriraj is known as Harivardhana, the best of all of Krishna's devotees. Although he's an expansion of Krishna, he's also the greatest devotee, because according to the gopis, he supplies fresh grass and water to the cowherd boys and the cows and the gopis, and also caves where Krishna used to meet with the gopis. And also the cowherd boys used to have reunions there too. And the nice thing about Govardhan is that his body is warm in the winter and it's cool in the summer. How many mountains can you say that? So he's especially empowered to serve Krishna. And the origin of Govardhan, he was the son of a person named Dronachala, king of the mountains. And one day, the mountains used to fly before, by the way, till Indra cut off their wings. You can imagine how big their wings were. But Indra cut off their wings and they all fell down. But in any case, at this time, one sage named Pulastra, he came to the mountains where Dronachala was the king, and he asked for his son, Govardhan. He wanted to take Govardhan home with him. And Dronachala had to agree, because at that time, sages actually had some power. And he didn't want to get cursed, so he gave Govardhan to Pulastra Muni. But Govardhan said, yes, I'll go with you, but only under one condition, that if you put me down somewhere, I'm going to stay there. So Pulastra said, all right, no problem. So he's flying over Vrindavan, Pulastra Muni, and suddenly got the urge of nature. And as we all know, there's one urge you can't deny, and that's the urge of nature. So he put Govardhan Hill down, and then he came back after meeting the call of nature, and he tried to pick up Govardhan, and Govardhan said, no way. He said that we made a deal. Wherever you put me down, that's where I'm going to stay, and I'm here to stay. So Pulastra Muni became very angry, and he cursed Govardhan that every day you're going to sink the size of a mustard seed, which is quite small. When you get older, everyone sinks more than a mustard seed. But in any case, every day Govardhan Hill has been sinking the size of a mustard seed. That's why it seems that Govardhan, if you go there, how many have gone to see Govardhan? See, Govardhan is quite popular. That's why it seems many places you can't even see Govardhan. You wonder if it's still there, and then suddenly it appears. But it said that before, Govardhan was so tall that the sun god when he used to go around the universe, because the sun god goes around the universe, by the way. The sun is actually moving. But he has a chariot, the sun. He moves in a chariot. And the horses, because Govardhan was so big, of course they say, I mean, if you believe me, I don't know. That Govardhan was so tall that the sun god's horses used to eat the grass on the top of Govardhan Hill on the way around. They always used to stop and say. That's why India sometimes is so sunny, because... And it, since it's been sinking, now it's not very tall anymore. And generally speaking, it's considered to be non-different from Krishna, because it's an expansion of Krishna. So, at that time, it says that at that time, 115 kilometers, 64 miles high, it's quite tall. I'm trying to think. If you go up in an airplane, it goes up 30,000 feet, which is approximately 50,000 meters. Maybe it's less than, actually it's less than that. 30,000 feet is 10,000 meters. Or so 10,000 meters, how many meters to a mile?
1,600. Meters.
So that was, and this is 64 miles. So how many meters is that? Oh, 115 kilometers. 64 miles. No, that was long. It was eight. Now it's, it was, and it was 16 miles high. So how many 16 miles high? 16 miles, 29 kilometers high. It's pretty high, isn't it? That's outer space. Yeah, so maybe the sun guy did stop by sometimes. The horses, feed the horses. And it was, originally it was 115 kilometers long and 72 kilometers wide. And now it's only 80 feet high at the highest point. It's shrunk a little bit. In any case, when Govardhan, it said that Brahma had created, first of all, he creates the yuga. So he created Sati Yuga, and then the next yuga should have been Treta Yuga. But somehow or another, because Ravana had to get his time in, so he came in Treta Yuga. So it was instead of Satya, Dwarpa, Treta, and then Kali Yuga, the fourth yuga. Instead it was Satya, then Treta, and Ravana appeared in Treta. And during this time, Lord Ramachandra, of course, he was building a bridge over to Lanka, and he was throwing all kinds of rocks in. So Hanuman came and he was going to pick up Govardhan and throw it into the ocean, because that would have been a good rock to throw in. But there came a voice just when Hanuman picked up Govardhan that it's already done. The whole bridge is completed. You don't have to... So Govardhan became very depressed because he really wanted to serve during Lord Ramachandra's appearance. He wanted to do some service. So then a voice came and said, don't worry, that when Krishna comes in Dwarpa Yuga, the next yuga, you'll be able to perform... Krishna will perform all kinds of pastimes with his associates on top of you. So Govardhan became very happy. Let's do this. Well, at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, as we know, Krishna was herding his cows in Vrindavan, and at that time the cowherd boys said they were hungry, and that if we could get some food somewhere, some prasad. So generally speaking, the cowherd boys, they're not really hungry, but they think that Krishna might be hungry. And they know if they said that Krishna wouldn't do anything if they were concerned that he was hungry, so they said they were hungry. because then Krishna would become concerned and do something. If he was hungry, he wouldn't do anything. But if he thought the coward boys were hungry, he'd do something. Just like when there was a fire. There's two big fires in Vrindavan in the Krishna book. And one of the fires was so strong that it was threatened to devour all the cows and the coward boys and Krishna. So the coward boys went in front of Krishna because they wanted to protect Krishna. Let us get burned first. So that's the mood of the devotees. That is some difficulty. Let's sacrifice ourselves to save Krishna. And Krishna's mood is, let me sacrifice myself to save the coward boys and the cows. Of course, Krishna doesn't really have to sacrifice himself. As a matter of fact, he just told the coward boys and the coward boys to close their eyes, and then he swallowed the fire. And when they woke up, they were in a different place, and everything was all right. So, at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, Krishna was herding the cows with the coward boys, and the coward boys, thinking Krishna was hungry, said, Krishna, we're very hungry, where can we get something to eat? So Krishna said, there's a group of Brahmins that are doing a sacrifice right now, and when you do a sacrifice, just like the Sankirtan, the sacrifice of Sankirtan, there's always prasadam. So don't worry, even if the lecture is not good, the prasadam will be good. Something will be good. So, Krishna told the coward boys, go and beg from the Brahmins some prasad, but don't expect to get very much. Because at that time, the Brahmins were really puffed up. And they wouldn't generally give anything to a lowly Vaishya like Krishna. And what to speak of, Balaram was a Kshatriya, but even that was not a big deal back then. So he said, go and ask for prasad, but ask prasad in the name of Balaram, because I'm just a Vaishya, and they're probably not going to give me anything. So they went there, and the Brahmins were doing the sacrifice. The coward boy said, oh, learned Brahmins, please give us some prasad in the name of Krishna and Balaram, who are herding cows nearby and are very hungry. They said, no way. Well, actually, they didn't say anything. If you really want to annoy someone, just don't respond. When I was doing one Prabhupada marathon, I was doing the international airport in Chicago. No, it was in Los Angeles. And Los Angeles has literally tens and thousands of Asians going through the airport every day. And I was asked to do the international air terminal. And the amazing thing is, if you stand there, 10,000 people can pass you by and not respond at all. They just ignore you 10,000 times. So if there's anything more discouraging, just try and stand in an airport, excuse me. So the Brahmins who were doing the sacrifice, the Yajna Brahmins, they completely ignored Krishna and the coward boys. So the coward boys came back disappointed. If you ever go on book distribution, don't distribute anything, you'll know how they feel. Quite discouraging. You'd rather put in, you know, take out your own wallet, pay for a few bucks. That way it doesn't seem so bad. So he said, Krishna Balaram said, don't worry. He said that actually, when you go on begging, you can't expect to be successful everywhere. But there's the wives of the Brahmins. If you go and ask them for some food, some prasad, they'll be happy to give it to you. This is just the proper time for offering food in between different types of yajnas. So they went there, and the coward boys asked the wives of the yogic Brahmins, Krishna and Balaram, they're nearby, they're herding cows, they're very hungry, can you please give us some prasada? The wives of the yogic Brahmins had heard, I believe it was from the aborigines, actually, about Krishna and Balaram. And just by hearing about them, they had become pure devotees. And they became very anxious to give Krishna and Balaram prasad. And immediately they went out and they brought Krishna and Balaram prasad. So the point is that Krishna wanted to show that there's no need to worship demigods, that one should simply worship him, as shown by the Brahmins' wives. So now Krishna came back from that herding the cows, and he was sitting there, and Nanda Maharaj and the cow men were preparing a sacrifice. So Krishna was a little interested, what's going on? And Nanda Maharaj thought, well, he's a little boy, he won't understand. So Krishna said, no, tell me what's going on. And Nanda Maharaj said, well, you know, it's complicated. So he said, but I'm a family member. It's all right, if I was an enemy, maybe you wouldn't tell me, but I'm a family member. You shouldn't keep secrets from family members. So Nanda Maharaj said, all right, I'll tell you what's going on. It's a tradition in our family that every year we perform one sacrifice for Indra, called Indra Pooj, because Indra is the one who supplies rain. And we're agriculturalists, and therefore we depend upon rain in order to grow the grains and the grass for the cows. Therefore, every year we worship Indra. So then Krishna decided to show that that's not a good idea, because Krishna comes specifically to show that if you worship him, everything else is taken care of, as he says in Bhagavad Gita. So what to speak of his father and the coward men, his pure devotees, they're going to worship someone else other than him? Nah, no way, especially during his appearance. So Krishna decided to preach to Nanda Maharaj and the coward men who were present so they'd stop the Indra Pooj. So he began to preach like an atheist. And out of all the lectures I ever heard Srila Prabhupada give, the only lecture he actually told a complete pastime was Govardhan Pooj in 1968. He told the entire story. And there Prabhupada started to chuckle. And he said, here's God, and he's preaching as an atheist. I mean, that's rare, that God tries to convince people that there's no God. And basically speaking, he spoke karma mimamsa philosophy. Karma mimamsa philosophy means that if you do good work, then good results will come. There's no need for a God, because even if there was a God, he'd have to give the results of karma he's obligated to. So he said, actually, there's no need to worship Indra, because Indra, even if you believe he's the one who's supplying the rain, but he's also supplying rain to the on the ocean. What kind of sacrifice is the ocean doing? It's doing nothing. It's just sitting there. And yet it's getting rain. So why should we bother worshiping Indra, where he's going to give us rain anyhow? Krishna knows the future also. He knew Indra was going to supply rain, even if you didn't sacrifice for him, he was going to give you plenty of rain. So he said, why sacrifice for Indra? And if you do good work, then the demigods are obliged to give you the results. So let us not waste our time worshiping Indra. Let us worship Govardhan, because Govardhan, actually, Govardhan is giving us the grass, the fresh water. He's giving everything for our cows, and we live by maintaining cows. So Nanda Maharaj said, all right, we'll do that. He said, but, you know, let us first perform the Indra Pooj, and then later on we'll do a sacrifice for Govardhan. But Krishna said, no, don't delay. It's very important. take all the paraphernalia you have for Govardhan, for worshiping Indra, and let us worship Govardhan Hill. So Krishna is quite persuasive, and he convinced all the coward men, and therefore they took all the ingredients, and there was a lot of them. They filled up a lake with sweet rice, and they had all kinds of chapatis and puris and gulab jamuns and samosas and everything to worship Govardhan. And then all the Brahmins and all the coward men and their wives, they circumambulated Govardhan Hill, chanting Hare Krishna, of course. And then Govardhan, Krishna manifested himself as a separate deity of Govardhan and ate all the food, all the prasadam. And then he said, Aniyor. Aniyor means give me more. And there's a place called Aniyor where Govardhan was asking for more prasadam. So they all took whatever they had left, and they all the grains they had, and they offered Govardhan more, and he ate it all in a moment. And then he said, Aniyor, give me more. Krishna is very hard to satisfy sometimes. Especially if prasadam is good, then it disappears quickly. So then they took one tulsi leaf and offered it to Govardhan, and he was satisfied. Such as tulsi, the power of tulsi leaves. So everything seemed to go all right. Govardhan was happy, the coward men were happy, everyone was happy, except for Indra. He was very unhappy. So Indra thought, who is this talkative boy who thinks that he's God, who stopped my sacrifice? So he decided that he was going to avenge this insult by destroying Govardhan, by destroying the cows and possibly the coward men and women, by inundating Vrindavan. So he called for the Samvarkata cloud, which is used at the time of devastation to destroy Vrindavan and get even with the coward men who had denied his sacrifice. It's probably why we have climate change, because people aren't sacrificing for Indra anymore. So the Samvarkata cloud came, and the other clouds came, and lightning came. Everything came and started to inundate Vrindavan with water. And at that time, there was no difference between the land. Everything became level because everything was getting flooded with water. And the cows took their calves underneath them to protect them. And they all approached Govinda, Krishna, asking for help. So Krishna said, don't worry, and I'll help you. So he lifted up Govardhan Hill with his left pinky and held it in the air and asked all the coward men to bring all their belongings and the calves and the cows and all living entities in Vrindavan took shelter under Govardhan Hill. And for 1 week, all the residents of Vrindavan, they had no hunger or thirst, nor did they have to sleep. They spent 1 week just observing Krishna, holding up Govardhan Hill. Of course, after some time, they became a little concerned that maybe Krishna is getting tired. But actually what happened is that the coward men, they took their sticks and they poked them, they were holding up Govardhan Hill also with their stick. And they thought, actually, how is it possible that Krishna could hold up with Govardhan Hill? It's actually Nanda Maharaj and the other coward men who are holding up with their sticks. So that went on for a week. All the coward men and the coward boys and the gopis and everyone else, all the cows, were observing Krishna. And Krishna, this is the first time in all of Krishna's pastimes that all the different rasas were being displayed simultaneously. generally speaking, in the evening, Krishna would be dancing with the gopis in the rasa dance, or enjoying a picnic on Govardhan Hill. And during the day, Krishna would be herding the cows and the calves with the cowherd boys. And during the evening, he'd come home and he'd enjoy his parental, the Nanda Maharaj, Mother Jasoda, and the cowherd men and the cowherd women would enjoy a parental relationship with Krishna. Because they'd feed him, and there'd be plays, and also so many different things would go on. So this so many of the vatsalya, the rasa was being displayed in one time of the day, the sakya rasa was being displayed another time of the day, madhurya rasa was another time. But this is one week, all the rasas were being displayed simultaneously. And sometimes, this is one time Radharani and the gopis can look at Krishna and no one would criticize. Because one time, Krishna, they said, they told Radharani to go away because it appeared that Krishna was observing Radharani and his hands started to shake. And they said, Radharani, go away because you're disturbing Krishna. So Krishna became very depressed, and the hill started to shake even more. And then he saw Balaram smiling because he thought maybe Balaram was thinking the hill's not going to fall. Krishna's God. So then Krishna thought maybe Balaram had read his mind looking at Radharani, and he became very embarrassed. So in this way, different pastimes went on. One time they said the cowherd boys told to Krishna, it looks like you're going to get tired, so maybe you should transfer the hill to Sudama. He can hold it up for a while. And that way we can massage your hand. And he said, even if you don't want to give it to Sudama, if you don't think he's strong enough, at least transfer it to your other hand so we can massage your left hand. And Mother Jasoda said, well, let the coward men just hold up the hill for a while, and you can rest. So Krishna said, all right. So he transferred the weight of the hill to the coward men, the sticks, and suddenly the whole thing started to shake. And Krishna said, no worries, I'll take it back. So that went on for a week. Indra was throwing all he could, trying to drown the residents of Vrindavan. He was throwing thunderbolts on top of Govardhan Hill, and Govardhan was feeling them just like, you know, nectar. And of course, Sudarshan Chakra came and he was drying up the waters. Everyone was participating. It was quite a scene, Govardhan Hill. And then Indra realized he's not going to be able to drown anyone. The only one who's being embarrassed in this pastime is Indra. So it said Indra was thunderstruck when he saw what was happening. So he called off the Sambhakra clouds. He said, you know, go home. Gotta wait a little while till the end of the universe, and then we'll call you again. And everything, all the clouds went away, Indra went away, everything came back to normal. And then Krishna told the gopis to leave. So they immediately left because he wanted to put down Govardhan Hill. And all the residents left, and then Krishna put down Govardhan Hill. In the meantime, Indra was quite embarrassed because he realized he had tried to kill. Krishna was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his master. He realized he wasn't an ordinary boy, and he became very afraid because he had committed a great offense. He not only tried to kill the cows, but he tried to kill the resident Vrindavan. So, I mean, you can't get worse than that. So he went to Brahma and said, what should I do? So Brahma said, well, here's Sarabi. She's from the Brahma Loka. Take Sarabi. Krishna likes cows. So he won't get, when he sees Sarabi, he'll get a little pacified. He won't get so angry at you. Because Krishna, when he first saw Indra, was inundating the land of Vrindavan with water, his first reaction was to destroy the heavenly planet of Indra, Indra Loka. But he said, what's the use? He said, he's such an insignificant person. Why should I bother using my power to destroy this insignificant planet called Indra Loka? So instead he became compassionate to the residents of Vrindavan. So Indra realized he was in trouble. He had committed a maha-maha aparad. So he took Sarabi to pacify Krishna and offered prayers when he came down. And then Sarabi also offered prayers. So Indra's prayers, I don't know how effective they were, but when the cow, Sarabi cow offered prayers, Krishna was pacified. And then there was a bathing at Govardhan Kund, where the demigods bathed Krishna with the Ganges water from Airavata's trunk. And then Sarabi bathed Krishna with the milk, with Sarabi milk. And that way Krishna was pacified. And all the coward boys observed all the demigods worshiping Krishna. And they were wondering, what's going on? Who are these people? Who's that strange guy with all those eyes on his body? Look at that guy, he has four heads. This is really strange. Anyhow, then they imitated the demigods and they also worshiped Krishna afterwards. And that way Govardhan Puja went on. Mainly to show us that there's no need to take shelter of any demigod or anyone else. All we do is have to take shelter of Krishna and he'll protect us. And not only he'll protect us, but all happiness will be there under Krishna's shelter. Something that can't be achieved in any other way. So I'll stop there since we have 1 minute left. So I'll ask the same question I always ask at the end of a lecture. Does anyone have any questions? At least I asked the question. Yes.
Thank you for the lecture. I was wondering, supposedly those who are demigods, they're supposed to be elevated beings, also morally. But when we read about the way they behave, it looks very, very, very human. And an argument might be raised that it's a concoction of someone, because those gods act just like humans do. You know, there's this theory that people just create gods. So maybe there's an explanation why beings who have such an elevated material position do not have solid moral grounds. Why are they ready to destroy humans and cows, and etc.?
Well, if you push someone... I mean, demigods are one of the 400,000 human forms of life. They're also human. And you push anyone too far, they get angry. So once every couple or so, you know, they get pushed too far, they display their anger. Other than that, it's not like Indra every day goes around killing people he doesn't like. But it's very, because they're in the mode of goodness, but there's a mixture, there's no pure goodness in the material world, even amongst the demigods. There's always a mixture of passion. And especially these demigods, because you know, their Indra is more or less full of passion. Because without passion, he's more or less like a Kshatriya. He's not a Brahmin. He may have, Kshatriyas generally have a good amount of goodness in them also, because they take instructions from the Brahmins. But the stories that we have about the demigods are not usually full of their good qualities. Because otherwise we'd all, I mean, as conditioned souls, we're very much encouraged to go there and enjoy. So the Bhagavatam is full of stories about their problems, just to discourage us. But generally speaking, I mean, they live quite a good life, and they're not so... only rarely do they get, you know, get over the top, you can say, and display these more lowly qualities. But we can see, compared to their lifespan, which is like, you know, millions of years, they snap out of it quite quickly. And therefore, you know, their original nature is manifested. Only rarely, you know, in the Bhagavatam, you know, Prithu Maharaj stealing, when Indra stole the horse, but they're they're devotees, so therefore they made up quite quickly and became best of friends. Anything else? Govardhan Hill Ki Jai.